You may be seated. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you here at Grace Bible Church. So you can be sure to get the most out of it. We want you to be able to follow along in God's Word. So if you do not have a Bible with you this morning, there's going to be some men walking down the aisle. So just put your hand up and they will make sure that you have a Bible where you can follow along for the rest of our service. And this is the time in our service where we set aside some time to follow Jesus' commands, to remember his death on the cross as a payment for the sins of everyone who would believe in him. And we do that by everyone here who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And we do that by those remembering and celebrating the fact that together we get to be beneficiaries of that death, and we remember that by taking a piece of bread and breaking it and drinking crushed grapes that are visible reminders of Jesus's broken body and shed blood. And so if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, we are thrilled you're here. We just invite you to listen. When the plates are passed, we would just ask you to pass it to the person next to you. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you've followed him, you have placed faith in him, we just invite you to join us this morning in this celebration. And if you have your Bibles, if you can begin turning to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, if you've got one of the Pew Bibles, that'll be on page 1051. And we're going to look at the passage that we just read this morning. And in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19, Paul has been contrasting two sets of deeds or actions. Those are the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's look again at verses 19 to 21, and let's read them together. Verse 19 of Galatians 5, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Everyone in this room knows these things by experience." Maybe not all of them in the same way, but in such a list, certainly one or more of these have characterized us in the past before Christ. Have you engaged in immoral acts, had impure thoughts? Have you ever committed idolatry by loving something more than God? Have you been jealous or angry or selfish? Looked after yourself as most important? Everyone in this room, if they see themselves rightly, should be saying, "Yep, I've done that. Yep, I've done that. I've done that." And these things are the deeds of the flesh. They come from sinful man. And at the beginning of verse 19, notice God's word says, verse 19, they are evident. They are plain. Everyone knows it. When we do these things, we know they are wrong. They are displeasing to the Lord. And we've all done these things. And they're sinful, and we know they're sinful. But the devastating reality of us all having participated in these in one form or another comes at the end of verse 21. Look at the last phrase of verse 21. We know that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if what Paul means by this is that if you've done any of these things and you won't go to heaven, there's no hope of eternal life, then we truly have no hope. Now, that is certainly what we all deserve. But it's not what Paul is saying here. That term in verse 21, those who practice such things, speaks of an ongoing reality, or those who are characteristically known as those who do these things. How are you known in this life? Are you known by living this way, doing these things? If this is what you're characterized by, known by, currently have a life committed to practice these things, then you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul has been speaking in chapters 4 and 5 about freedom and slavery. And if these sins characteristically define us, it's because we're enslaved to them. We're enslaved to sin. And those of us who are in Christ once were enslaved to them and now no longer are. But true believers in Christ, we are here today worshiping and remembering Christ because we do have a hope. We do have a certainty of inheriting Christ's kingdom. Why? Is it because we are able to clean up our lives enough so that over time, by our own grit and determination, we are able to make some of these other things, the fruit of the Spirit, maybe more evident than these other things? We, by our own self-control, we put on these things and put off these things, and so now we deserve God's kingdom? By no means. So what is Paul saying? How did we, who were formerly doers of these things and had no right to inherit eternal life, how did we come to take hold of it? We'll look down to verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucifixion is the ugly death on a cross, that Roman instrument of execution, and it almost always refers to, in our Bibles, to Christ crucifixion, but here it refers to the crucifixion of the flesh. Well, the question is, when did believers crucify or put to death sinful man with its desires? As we've been reading the book of Galatians together on Sunday mornings, Paul can hardly be suggesting that believers did something of their own ability, by their own works, their own merits, that they were able to somehow slay the flesh by keeping the law, doing good. It would actually fly in the face of his whole letter if that's what he were saying. So what is he saying then? Well, this is the second time Paul has used this term crucified in his letter. And I think he's pointing us back to how has he used this in the life of the believer. Back in Galatians 2:20, he said, believers in Jesus Christ are said to be those who have been crucified with Christ. And we now live by faith. And so it is true of a believer that you have been crucified because you have been crucified in your unity with Jesus Christ. And you came into that state by faith. So how did we who deserved wrath and who were enslaved to sin find freedom from that slavery? By faith in Jesus Christ. Those who belong to Christ have a union with his death. And it severs our slavery to sin, not because of our effort, but because of grace. And we also have a union to Christ's life by God's Spirit, who then begins to produce fruit or evidence of his Spirit within us. And so we get the fruit of the Spirit. Believer, remember, you're not here this morning to celebrate this meal because you cleaned yourself up, but because of God's work in you to bring you to faith in Christ, to unite you to his son's death and life and his working in you. What a way to just get to remember and celebrate together the Lord's death this morning. While you actually prepare your hearts this morning, we know, and we think on these truths, we know by experience that the death of the flesh positionally does not mean that believers will be free from the presence of sin in this life. Free from its slavery, yes, but it's still present, even within us. And we'll feel the tug of fleshly desires. But what this work done by God does mean is that this sin, though present within us, will no longer rule and reign over us as slave masters. We can now actually walk by the Spirit. So this morning, as we consider these things, and as we remember who we once were, we celebrate what Christ has done to give us new life, free us from the tyranny of sin, so we can actually be obedient and follow after him. So men, I'm going to ask you to come forward. and go ahead and distribute the elements. And then as you sit there and you contemplate these things, we know that in our own lives, some of these things still rise up in our lives from time to time. Take this time to be able to repent, confess those before the Lord, repent, turn from those things this morning. If you are in Christ, you're no longer a slave of these things. Well, sometimes we take communion together, and sometimes we drink on our own. This morning, when you have received the cup, and you can go ahead and, when your own hearts are prepared, take it on your own, and then I'll close us in prayer in just a minute.